Chapter 3. The Grey Cub. He was different from his brothers and sisters. Their hair was already red-coloured, like their mother's. His alone was grey, and in this respect he took after his father. His eyes had not been open long, but already he could see very clearly. While his eyes were still closed, he had felt, tasted, and smelled. He knew his two brothers and two sisters very well. He had begun to play with them and even to fight. Long before his eyes had opened, he had learned by touch, taste and smell to know his mother, a source of warmth and milk and tenderness. He had spent most of the first month of his life asleep, but now he could see quite well, and he stayed awake for longer periods of time. He tried to learn about his world. It was a very small world. Its limits were the walls of the lair. He had already discovered that one wall of his world was different from the rest. This was the mouth of the cave and the source of light. He found that he was very attracted to it, like a plant is attracted to the sun. In the beginning, he had crawled towards the mouth of the cave, and so had his brothers and sisters. Later on, the attraction of the light increased. They were always crawling towards it and being driven back from it by their mother. It was in this way that the grey cub learned other characteristics of his mother, apart from the soft, gentle tongue. When he crawled towards the light, he discovered that her nose could be sharp, and later that her paw could hurt him. He learned to avoid being hurt by dodging and retreating. He was a fierce little cub. So were his brothers and sisters. It was to be expected. He came from a breed of meat-eaters. The milk he had sucked in his first days of life was transformed directly from meat. And now that he was a month old, he began to eat the meat that was half-eaten by the she-wolf and then given to the five growing cubs. He soon became the fiercest of the litter. He could growl louder than any of them, and his tiny rages were much more terrible than theirs. It was he who first gripped another cub by the ear and pulled and snarled through tightly closed jaws, and it was certainly he that caused his mother the most trouble in keeping her cubs from the mouth of the cave. The grey cub's fascination with the light increased from day to day. He knew it as a wall of light, but he did not know that it led to the outside world. Sometimes he saw his father walk right into the white wall and disappear. The grey cub could not understand this. When he had approached the other walls, he had banged his nose. This hurt, so he decided to leave the walls alone. Without thinking about it, he accepted this disappearing into the wall as a characteristic of his father, just as milk and half-digested meat were characteristics of his mother. Like most creatures of the wild, he experienced famine early. There came a time when not only did the meat supply stop, but there was no more milk from his mother. At first, the cubs whimpered and cried, but for the most part they slept. It was not long before they were in a coma of hunger. When the grey cub came back to life again, he found that the population of his world had been reduced. Only one sister was left. The rest were gone. His little body grew round with the meat he now ate, but the food had come too late for her. She slept continuously and finally died. Then there came a time when the grey cub no longer saw his father appearing or disappearing into the wall, nor lying down asleep in the entrance. This had happened at the end of a second and less severe famine. The she-wolf knew why One Eye never came back. While she was hunting for meat, she had followed a day-old trail left by One Eye. She had found him, or what remained of him, at the end of the trail. He had been killed and eaten by a lynx.